Off the Ball, GAA.
What am I supposed to do? Like, what's wrong with throwing it up and palming it above? It's a striking motion. Now, Ryan is saying Limerick are throwing it all the time. Every team is throwing the ball. Every team is throwing the ball. Like, you know what I mean?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Time to say a very good morning to Ronan O'Gara. Morning, Ronan.
Morning. Hi, guys. How's it going?
Keeping well. We're keeping well. We were just chatting there about Jamie Vardy, Leicester City's Jamie Vardy, who's hanging up, well, not hanging up his boots. He's leaving Leicester at the end of the season. And Keith was pointing out that he was a bit of a yapper on the pitch when he played against him, one of these mouthers. Did you enjoy coming up against those kinds of players who were talking from minute zero to minute 80?
We all have a perfect version of ourselves as players, and we never did any of that kind of thing. And it's a very selective memory, isn't it? So Leicester gone down. He's moving on.
What
age is Vardy, you know?
He's 38, so he wants to move on. And the word is he might want more Premier League experience with Jamie Vardy. He's got 7 goals this season, so not a bad return for a 38-year-old with a soon to be relegated side. So still some left to give, but yeah, he's just one of those players that never shut his mouth.
Yeah, there's perfect examples of that in every sport, I think, isn't there? But like, I kind of try and solve it into, do you want them playing in your team? You know, a good example in rugby terms would maybe be Mike Phillips. You know, I think the perception of Mike Phillips and the reality of Mike Phillips from my generation would be two completely different things, in the fact that on the pitch, an absolute nightmare is a very strong word to use in terms of what a player can do, but a wind-up merchant. But I think as a coach you'd appreciate him, as a player you'd appreciate him, and he's with you, I think you'd appreciate him, and he adds so much on the pitch and off the pitch. But then when you're playing against him, you can obviously see why he's potentially disliked by supporters, by opposition teams. But that's run-of-the-mill in sport nowadays, isn't it? It should be. It's the fear with the game is that because of, I suppose, the amount of media angles and social media coming in, is that people can't be themselves. And, you know, you see it all over sport at the minute that it would be a shame if we don't really get to appreciate or know who our sporting stars are, because in GAA it's hard, obviously, with hurling, with the helmets. The recognition is hard from the point of view, if they walked down Grafton Street, would you be able to recognise them? Obviously, the soccer players are well known, but the guys playing for Ireland now, I'm not too sure if they walked down Grafton Street, I'd recognise them, but I'd recognise you know, maybe it's because where I'm living, you wouldn't recognise them in Paris because they're able to blend in, it's too big a city. But the Paris Saint-Germain players, I went to Nantes, Paris Saint-Germain, Tuesday night.
All right.
Yeah, just to, my two boys are into soccer, you know, so I wanted to bring them. And it was, I'd be fascinated with Enrique, you know. I think obviously we know the story about his daughter, and that video, I think, has hit Twitter or Instagram, but it's a fascinating story. But just the way he sees what he's made, I suppose, a positive out of a tragic story, you know. And I think there's just this huge likability about him. And we could spend ages talking about what he's done, eliminating the stars to make what's best for the team. And you look at them now, they're in the semi-final of the Champions Cup, isn't it? They've won France by, whatever, 30 points. And it's just so much better watching sport live in real life than watching it on the television, you know. You just get, and I suppose the one thing that blew my mind for the game was a poor non-support or replacements. They had to warm up, I'd say, for 90 minutes non-stop up the side of the pitch doing all these bloody exercises. I was like, oh God, you poor fellas, you know. And I'd say the eldest was 16 or 17.
Take a detour from the ordinary.
Own.
It's finally here. Your 10-part documentary, Diverted.
Took a long time.
It's time to get diverted.
This has taken too long, but finally glad that it's here.
Join Owen Sheehan as he brings you the conversations you didn't know you needed to hear.
It's like the content version of your eyes being bigger than your belly, or whenever it comes to food.
From the unexpected to the unforgettable, Diverted explores it all.
For some reason, I've decided to hitchhike through Argentina.
Irlanda.
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 Irlanda. See, see, see.
Available for free on all Off the Ball channels. Divert it on Off the Ball.
Yeah, 8:05 on Friday morning's Off the Ball breakfast with myself and Keith. Delighted to have Owen here in studio with us. Morning, Owen.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Keeping well. Dan McDonald was in that clip there chatting to Mick McCarthy on the show last night, talking about Victor Ojeanvuna, this young 16-year-old talent at Shamrock Rovers. Talk of interest from Arsenal, from Manchester United. You know, he's potentially going to break this transfer record as well that Mason Melia has set. So a talent that they're all excited about in Rovers, and that we tend to get excited about these young players in the League of Ireland, don't we?
Yeah, we do. And it's probably, I've never heard of it before, where players are going away for such money, you know, from the League of Ireland. So it's good to see Mason Melia. Obviously he's signed a deal with Spurs and that, and he's going away. And now there's talk of him that Man U, Arsenal, to name a few clubs are in for him, and he's 16 years of age. And talking about Cathal O'Sullivan down in Clancy's talking about him down in Cork. So it seems to be any young player coming through now, we're really giving him a good platform to produce and show their skills on. And I think he's on the bench tonight. But it'd be good. Look, it'd be great for Rovers to be some money if they do go, and it's a good pathway. And I think Bradley came out there a while ago and said that any player that, young player that wants to play for Rovers will have to sign a pro contract, because they're not going to just show both them and let them sign as an amateur and then let them go on a free. So any young player coming in, there is a stage for them to do it, but they're going to have to sign pro contracts to go away and make the money.
It's a good thing, the hype, isn't it? Like,
absolutely.
You don't want to put too much pressure on young lads, especially at that age, but you want to big them up when you can.
I don't think there's pressure on them, because Bradley has come out and said, I'll play him in some games, drop him in now and then, take him out, which is a good thing. And it's more about showcasing his abilities and his skills that he has to get that deal done and over the line. I think Arsenal have been watching him for the last 3 years, so they've done their due diligence on him. So I think the contract is near signing. And then once that's done, Rovers will be happy and they'll move on to the next one. Have a few more quid to put into the club, but then they move on to the next young player and try to produce another one to come through.
Mm. Yeah, you don't want to be negative about it, but when you think of Arsenal or Spurs in Mason's case, £1 million up front to secure Mason is not an awful lot of money for them. So Spurs and Arsenal, if they do go for Ojeanvuna, it's brilliant that the lads are getting that sort of weight behind them. It's brilliant that the eyes are on them, but really, Spurs, you know, if Ojeanvuna, if Mason don't make it, that £1 million doesn't mean anything to Spurs. It's peanuts to them in the Premier League. So although it's brilliant and, you know, there's some of the younger players that are going over, it's excellent. But again, I reiterate, the hard work starts now. It's not a time for patting yourself on the back and you've made it. It's now time for hard work.
100%. The other news off the pitch this week before we get to the fixtures this evening was the Mark Canham news that he's leaving his role at the FAI. I mean, it's been a mixed enough tenure. When you ask a lot of people, they look at the length of time it took to appoint Hamer Hallgrimsson, the Eileen Gleeson stuff, and Colin Healy's exit from the FA particularly leaves a sour taste in the mouth for some people. But what are your lads' takes on Canham's exit, his time there, and maybe who should take over?
Well, who could take over? That's the, I suppose, the big question. Like, you know, there's names, he can throw names in. I said Brian Kerr knows his football here internationally. Stephen Kenny, obviously, you'll have to tempt him away from Pats, you know. But there's a list of players, and I've seen them come out and say, no, we're not going to look here, we're looking elsewhere as well. But there is good people here involved in the game who would be ideal candidates in my eyes, and I think Brian Kerr stands out to me. Like, he's been involved in the game here at a senior level. He's played or managed Ireland, so he knows his way around the FEI. He's been there, so why not say to him, look, what can you do? Mark Canham is gone. I don't know what his legacy is after being here for 3 years. Like you said, there was the John O'Shea was interim manager, and then that was delayed. And then Eileen Gleeson, I thought, was doing a good job and got rid of her. Colin Healy again told him he was staying. He wasn't staying. And now they're talking about bringing all the leagues together as one and playing on one calendar season and sort of things. So I don't know what the legacy is for him that he's been in 3 years. But
Football Pathways, he would probably say.
It hasn't developed, has it? Like, it's, and you don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. And he's automatically saying, yeah, we're going to stick with this and we're going to push it through. And then he's moving on now when he's gone. It was a strange appointment for me anyway in the first place. But who takes a job and who takes the role for 150 grand a week? I'm sure there'll be 150 grand a year. I'm sure there'll be plenty of takers on that one.
Mm. what do I say about Mark Canham? I'm happy to see the back of him, to be honest. I don't think his time within the FAI, and a lot of people have said, look, Keith, he's the one taking the slack for the FAI. He's the one fronting it up. But he's the one who got in front of the cameras and set a deadline for the manager and then missed it. He's the one that, I know the Colin Healy stuff you said didn't happen, but in my opinion, it did happen. And that sort of stuff, to treat Colin Healy the way he treated Colin Healy after what had just happened to him, I thought was absolutely classless. I thought it was really, really poor. Eileen Gleeson getting sacked and still getting paid because she was getting paid but didn't have a role within the FAI. That's the sort of stuff that happened with Robbie Keane years ago when everybody was looking down their nose at that. So it's the same old poor FAI. I would echo what Owen is saying. I think Brian Kerr is just hitting us straight in the face with this one. I'm not too sure if he'd be interested in it, but he's the godfather of Irish football. And we all look and think whoever's coming in the door has to understand Irish football. And that would lead, it would point to somebody within Ireland. But I couldn't care if whoever it is from Timbuktu, as long as they have their finger on the pulse of the Irish game.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.